This Do Lectures episode features explorer of the internet and future astronaut, Ross Hill, recorded live at a global event in Victoria, Australia in 2014.
So I want to chat a little bit about what's next and doing what's next. This is a question I'm always asking. It's also a question that I get asked occasionally. And so I've got a few photos to share of some wandering that I've done. Firstly, though, because this is 2014, I need a selfie. So if you could wave and smile. The Do selfie. Okay, we've done well. All right, so back to the start and connecting some dots. I love exploring, I like wandering. This is me in Coober Pedy, which is a deserty place in Australia. It's got some mines, you can walk around, you get a cool hat. It's a really interesting place. So always wandering and exploring and traveling. It's been a very important thing in my life. And I skipped half of prep, actually, with my family to the first year of school to go wandering. That's part of this. There was two trips. One was the east, one was the west. Got through a bit of school, always camping. It's good to be out camping again. This travel is important thing has stuck with me. So my parents actually took me out of the final year of school for a month, and we went traveling around Western Europe. That was a lot of fun. So I've learned we all have these different maps, and we have our experiences. Your map's different to my map. Your world is different to my world. And so it's funny when I hear people say something about the world or our world, because you're talking about your world and what you've seen. And it's really interesting when we get to have moments like this and share each other's worlds. There's another type of exploration that I began a few years after this. And it looked a bit like this. Who knows what this is? You push the button. And then it looks like this. And you get this box, it's got some lights, you've got a keyboard, you've got tapes and things. And it says, what do you want to do? And where do you want to go? And so for a long few years, I've been exploring cyberspace and what we call the internet today, I guess. But back then, you kind of had to poke the machine and tell it what you wanted. So I had to learn, how do you set up the computer? How do you plug it together? How do you type in some programs if you want a program to run? After that, it was, I want a faster computer. How do I build that together? Then it was, these computers are cool by themselves. You can put stuff in and get it out, but we should join them all together. So I got together with some friends. We got the blue cables. We joined them together. Did that for a little while. Of course, to play games. It looked like this. all good things on the internet, and I think most progress on the internet starts with a game. So this was us in the shed. These are the days where, to make a network, you had to bring your computer. You had to pull it apart, bring it to someone else's place, plug it back together, put all the cables together, figure out how that works. We had a lot of fun. We played games. We explored a lot of worlds in there. Then there was these times between gaming sessions, you know, during the week when it was too hard to bring your computers around. So we had to figure out how the early essence of the internet worked. And so we'd dial each other on the phone using a modem. And you probably remember the hissing sounds trying to connect a game together. So we'd get into this game, we'd be playing for an hour, we'd be setting up our marvelous worlds and armies and places. Then your mum would pick up the phone and it destroyed everything. But we would always rebuild. So after that, the internet, sort of as we know it, came together. I learned to poke around that a little bit. I had to learn to make some of it. I learned a bit of coding. Learned a bit more coding of how do you make collections of things. And that was a lot of fun. So I always like to come back to the basics of it. We had computers, then we had the networks, then we had the internet, we had code. And you see us staring at these beige boxes, but what we saw on the other side was this. We saw the matrix. We saw this like endless, limitless world. And we had to go out there and find some stuff. So you could find these vast amounts of information. You could find a lot of cats. But always there was people behind it. And so I was always looking around and I was trying to figure out what's on the other side of the internet. Because you'd be talking to some guy and he posted this photo from France and you're like, oh, that's a great photo. Or there's some news from a blog that's happening in Paris. And it always came from somewhere far away. It was very rare that you found a piece of the internet that was from your neighbors. So then we got towards these social networks, and that was a bit of a turning point for me. So the first ones were like Flickr, which was sharing photos. I had Last.fm from London that was sharing music. Then we got together towards some good ones. Wikipedia is like a big, chunky social network. And I always remember there's this thing of when you shift from pre-internet to post-internet, which is still happening very much today. And so I used to have these encyclopedias at home, and you could read them all. You could go from the start to the finish. Now Wikipedia, you can't get to the end because it changes so often. That's quite interesting. YouTube today with videos, something simple like a video collection. 1 billion people use it every month, and they're watching 6 billion hours of video. And that's just today. So that, like Will said before, that is probably out of date already. There's a lot more happening there. So on the other side of the internet, you find these people, they're sharing their stuff. But what's interesting is if you post a note up there with a physical time and place, out of the matrix, out in the world, and you say, how about we go to this place at this time, all the people kind of get outside the internet and they go and they chat to each other. So I got into meetups. And if a meetup doesn't exist, you just post it and you start it. And it's very, very easy. So you post a time and a place and a topic. People turn up. So I've had web meetups. There was meetups for entrepreneurs all around Australia. One of my favorite, though, is the Awesome Foundation. So I want to tell you a bit of a story about how the Awesome Foundation happened. So the Awesome Foundation is a foundation. It awards cash grants of $1,000 each month with no strings attached. And I think it's a really interesting, unique idea. It's funding awesomeness, which is underfunded in the world already. But we're putting some more funding into awesomeness. So I heard about this idea from Boston. A couple of guys in Boston started it there. Now it's the internet. And I saw it. I thought, that's a cool idea. We should have that in Melbourne. And so I did the stupid first mistake of asking permission. It's the internet. You copy and steal and remix, and you share it. So I emailed this guy, Tim, and he said, sure, just get 10 people, and we'll put your name on the website. We'll say Melbourne, and you're off and running. So he did that. Of course, you write a blog post to get anything started. And we said, we just want a handful of people to give away all their money every month. That'd be great for the cause of awesomeness. I thought it would be really, really hard to find a group of 10 people just throwing money away. But it turns out there's heaps of them. The next day, we had 66 people willing to throw away their money. Great. So we said, we can only have 10. The group is 10. 10 times 100 is $1,000. We can put all that together. So we sort of picked a diverse group of 10 that we all didn't know. And we told the rest, go and start the second one. So a few months later, they did start the second one. So some simple rules for this. First rule for these 10 micro trustees is you have to agree to contribute $100 every month. That's that. Second one, be part of the selection process. We want the money and the focus and the attention and the effort. And the third one, which makes it all completely sustainable, is if you want to leave, that's fine, just replace yourself. So we always have this 10 going. So we did that. We had a group of 10. This is our first dinner, which is quite fun. We had to grapple the big questions in life. What is awesomeness? It's quite hard to discuss. Second big question, how big should our novelty check be? It's pretty big. It's a giant pink check. So that was fun. So this as well was a bit of a shift for me as you've got meetups. We usually come to meetups. We talk to each other. That's all that happens. We chat about what's happening with other things in the world. This was shifting slowly. I wanted to learn about funding, but in a fun way. This is it. And we also got to meet all of these awesome people sending in applications through the internet. So some of the things we funded, this is the Rooftop Honey in Melbourne. They put beehives around the rooftops. Michelle's here. She's got one on her roof. This is her roof, actually. So we got them a honey machine, and I don't really understand what they do with it, but they get honey out somehow. And so it's possible for the honey to go to the cafe below, and you have this zero food mile food, which is brilliant. But we learned a lot about bees as well. So bees are having a bit of a hard time in the world at the moment because they get knocked out by pesticides. So one of the first things you think about with bees in the city is like, but it's the city. It's like, there's pollution everywhere. Like, what do they do with that? But they don't care. They care about pesticides that kills them. But in the city, they don't worry about the pollution. So these guys are doing a fun thing where the honey in each hive is, the flavors are really based on the environment around them. And they're really sensitive to the environment. So Matt and Vanessa, they get their bee suit on. And what they really want to do is create rivalry within the city, just like the footy teams. Like, is the Hawthorns honey better than the Geelong honey at the moment? Or how's St Kilda going? That's pretty fun. Second one is a group called One Girl. And so there's all these different causes, and these guys wanted to raise money for girls' education in Sierra Leone by getting people to wear school dresses. Not people that go to school, but people like you guys. especially the guys, actually. It's really, really funny. So they got a bunch of people to wear school dresses. They took the $1,000. They put their first website out. They got their campaign going. They made $41,000 back. That was great. So that was really awesome. That was their first awesome foundation grant. They came back a year later when we were running a big party, and we thought, let's take this up a notch. Let's get everyone together for the birthday. We'll take the ticket sales and make this mega grant of a couple of $1,000. So One Girl came back, which they're very good at. They're very good at making money happen. And they said, we've got this issue. Like, the people are getting educated over in Sierra Leone, but when they go for a pee, they get bitten by snakes, and some of them die. And we thought, that's not awesome. So we need to fix that. So the money from the grant built this toilet. And I think it's amazing that you've got this plaque that says, the Awesome Foundation built this toilet. And all of this started from a little tiny blog post. It's ridiculous. that was another cool one. So this one doesn't really need an explanation. It's a Mini Cooper covered in macarons. That's awesome. One of the other common discussions that we have and that I really like to provoke is we're funding awesomeness, and not many people fund awesomeness. And there's this distinction is like what's nice and what's awesome. Sometimes they go together. Sometimes nice is a different category. This is purely awesome. Like, this is not saving children. This is not doing anything like that. This is a macaron-covered car. So Linda runs the Melbourne Macaron Fan Club, and I don't know what they do, but she just came and said, I want to buy a bunch of macarons, stick them on a car, and drive around for a day. The thing that got me, though, is she thought this through in detail, and she factored $100 for parking fines. So a touch of reality is still good. So we had the third birthday party a couple of weeks ago. It's been going for 3 years in Melbourne. But the bigger picture and what you get through the internet is the collective stuff. So I think there's about 90 chapters now, and they've funded about $1 million of awesomeness. That's pretty amazing. So a couple of different do's now. This is Pete Williams' formula for changing the world. Pete and I worked together at Deloitte for a couple of years, and this was very, very useful. This is basically a model of how do you get a crowd together to do something. And it's the sort of crowd, like what we're looking for is you've got a crowd of people, a big crowd. You need them to share. So they need to be visible to each other physically or through the internet. They need to like click retweet or post it somewhere else. So what you're looking for is, in San Francisco terms, called a viral coefficient. And you want that higher than one. What that means is if you see it, you share it with at least one other person. And that's how it takes off. You need state criticality. Basically, that means you need some spare attention. If you're busy, then you don't have time to be participating in a crowd. So if you think about the footy, you don't have a Mexican wave during the game. You have a Mexican wave at the break when everyone's got spare energy. Simple rules. For the Mexican wave, it's just wave your arms around when the other guy does. And a trigger, which is your countdown. And so if all of this comes together, and it doesn't always come together, then you can have a phase transition where everyone goes from just a crowd sort of doing what they're doing and then jumping into a different state. This is also a photo of some great coffee in Hong Kong that I had last week. It's called a siphon, and the water gets some magical physics, which hopefully the guys can explain later on. The water goes from just normal water into boiling water and back, and that creates vacuums and magical things, and you get some great coffee. So basically, with your crowds and these things, they take a bit of getting going, but when they get going, like things happen really, really quickly. And that's what the internet and what crowds are really good at. So I promise this is my only chart, but I wanted to share this. Bit of science. This guy's pretty wise. You've heard of flow. We've been talking about it already a little bit. Flow is that state of when you're in the zone. And it can be you're in the zone doing some work or driving or, you know, having oneness moments in the mountains. All of those can have flow. And it's basically that moment where you stop sort of thinking about it so much and you just do it. And so that really sums up do for me. So the challenge is you've got skills and you've got challenge. So this is a channel. And the thing you need to keep in mind, and which really applies to the world at the moment, is if you stand still, then your skill is probably getting better. So then you're getting it bored if you don't keep moving. And if it's too hard, if the problem you're working on is too hard, you get anxiety, you stress out, it doesn't happen. But if you want to keep in this flow, your skill needs to rise with the challenge, and it's this balance that you have all together. So it keeps moving, don't stand still. The internet's good to help you with that. So a bunch of do's. If I look at my career so far, it's been on networks. I was walking around a jungle one day, found a tree, and it reminded me of a primary school lesson that I had, which was the roots of the tree reach out as far as the branches do, but you don't see the roots very often. And it's good to remember they're there. So when I was working with Deloitte, it was working on innovation within the company. It's like the invisible bit, but it helps the company respond a lot more. If you don't have the roots, you have a storm or something bad happening, tree just topples over. That's not good. Then I worked with Yammer, which is a business social network, and that's really helping connect the people within the company. The customers, like, we're all on the outside. We're getting more connected. We tweet and we do all this stuff. But on the inside, you sort of need to keep the same pace and make those new connections and join all the dots. And then soon I'm starting with KoTap, and that's mobile messaging for the workplace. So we're trying. I've kept looking at different spaces to work in, but I keep coming back to messaging because there's still dots that we have to connect. Another do tune in and out of the web. Remember that airplane mode works outside the airplane as well. You can go through the city in airplane mode, works well. Sometimes you'll feel anxious because there's stuff happening, but it's really good to tune in and out of the internet. Another one, do have coffee. Coffee is wonderful. A lot of you are from Melbourne, we know this. The reason to have coffee is because you meet all these different people. You need to network online and offline because you can't do everything yourself. So you need other people. They're willing to help you if you reach out and you know them. And that's what networking is. It's like exploring, looking at what's out there. You can join all the dots later. So now a few do's that can kind of hold us back. This is one of the School of Space events with the Academy of Getting Shit Done. Pay attention to your attention, because whatever you're procrastinating about, it's probably pretty important. So just keep that in mind. If you have this moment of, I'm really avoiding this thing, like, just dig in a little bit to why you're avoiding it. And do like Jan and meditate for a moment and see if that helps you out. Do know the difference between best and perfect. So we've got this room of doers. You've got all these big visions of what needs fixing in the world. I think it's really interesting, like, where do you start? You've got this massive, massive vision, then what's next? What's next is probably like call someone, chat to a friend, or write a blog post. They're really, really simple things. But you're going to hold yourself back from that unless you realize that you just need to improve on the best. Perfect might be a long way off, but just move it a little bit forward. On this note as well, I've been traveling a bit. I've learned about quality. Quality is an interesting word. What do you think it means? In Australia, it usually means value for money. Quality, when you're shopping, is like, it's good. It's good value. In the US, it means it just works. It actually works. That's pretty good quality. In Korea, it means it's new, new and shiny. In Japan, though, it means flawless. And so I find it really interesting, like, you've got this one word, means so many different things. And that's a lot of why we need to have coffee and connect with people as well, is just to learn what do we all mean. Another one is do ask why not. So I ended up at a conference called South by Southwest, which led to a few other cool things, because a friend of mine asked, why aren't you going? And I said, there's this cool thing, why aren't you going? It was the same with do. I said, there's this cool thing I saw on the internet, we should go. And I wasn't going at the time. They said, why not? I said, I'll buy a ticket, let's go. And that's how these things happen. So do what's next, look around the corner, don't get stuck in the past too much, learn from it, but keep moving forward. So three quick things that I want to talk about. This is a William Gibson quote, future's already here, it's just not evenly distributed. What that means is you can go and find it. So go and find it, it's out there, and then do it. Do what's next. This is Hong Kong, it's a city. In 1850, 25% of the population lived in cities. In 2050, it's going to be 75%. So we're all moving to cities. By 2025, which also is not far away, 75% of the workers will be Gen Y or younger. That changes a few things pretty quickly, so that's coming. We already spend more time on our phones than our desktop computers, so that's another big shift that you see often in the cities. This is Bhutan, which I was lucky enough to go to last year. There's another pattern that I see where we're adding community environment to our awareness. So in business, you see B corporations. Basically what they're saying, if you simplify it, is you look at profit, that's great. Think about your communities as well. There's not just one community. There's like a partner community, a supplier community, customer community. There's all sorts of stuff. And the environment, like the physical environment around us. So in Bhutan, they look at gross national happiness. And that's a similar idea at a national level. So how, as a government, can we make sure all the policies get screened so that, yes, they have a business case and they look at profit, but also they look at the community and the environment. And so you get much stronger and more powerful stuff coming out of that. Last one. Does anyone know what this is? This little dot right here. It's the International Space Station. We've kind of forgotten about space. And it's great that we come here camping, we can look up, there's so many stars. So I found this website, of course. It's called How Many People Are in Space Right Now? .com. And I highly recommend it. The answer is six. Six astronauts up there. A few Russians, a few US people, and a Japanese guy. They just float around. They're doing some experiments. Every 90 minutes, they go around. That's pretty cool. You can spot them. If you get an app on your phone, it tells you where it is. So 5 a.m. tomorrow morning out here, you can look up and you'll see it go across the sky. That's pretty cool. What's even cooler is if you wave at them, they'll tweet photos back. You can follow them on Twitter. You can see their perspective coming down. So there's this really, really powerful thing that you hear about when you listen to astronauts. It's called the overview effect. And basically, NASA has a joke. They send scientists and engineers up, and they come back as poets and philosophers. And the reason for that is they have this amazing view of the planet. And there's no borders or national things or anything like that. You see a small blue planet. It looks pretty nice. They've got vast space around you. And they come back saying, we have to work together. There's no point like warring about these particular things. We need to work together. And so you see in space a lot of this happening. So the most important question is, how do we get there? When do we get there? 536 people have been to space so far. Till now, you had to be a country. Three countries have done that. So it's too expensive. The space shuttles cost $1 billion to launch. And they're too old. They don't work anymore. So that's a bit of an issue. So what's interesting, this is a shot from a Virgin Galactic test flight. So Richard Branson and the government of Abu Dhabi are doing Virgin Galactic. For about $250,000, you can get a place on this rocket. It goes to 100 kilometers high, which is technically space. And you see the curve. You get weightlessness for a few minutes. That's pretty cool. They've sold 600 or 700 tickets already. So we're going to double how many people are in space in the next year and double how many people are having this overview effect. That's pretty significant. Another one is SpaceX. So Elon Musk wants to take everyone to Mars. And that's going to cost about $500,000 return in about 10 years when he reckons we can do that. So I just want you to take a moment to ponder, like, how do we operate and do differently on the planet when we have this awareness of the whole planet in space? We're all together on this little rock. What do we do differently? How are you going to get to space? It's getting cheaper and cheaper. We'll get there. And just what does that mean? So tonight, when you're looking at the stars, keep an eye out for the astronauts as well. If they go past, wave. And ask yourself, why aren't we up there as well? Because that'd be fun. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.